When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow messages in your Bible in sequence in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number one in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of the series.
I'd like to welcome you, and I just speak blessings and peace and grace and love over you in Jesus' name. Hear the word. And we came to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ His word, and we know that word performs its work in it. I'm just real thankful that I have a part. I'm awed by the grace of God every time it comes time for my part. You have a part. And I have a part. It's time for my part. Isn't it good that, I used to sit back where you are right now, and I used to think, well, I've got the little Jesus, and the man up here has a big Jesus. And it was real deliverance for me to find out that I have the same Jesus as Peter and Paul and John and James, and I don't have a little Jesus anymore. Now, I want you to stand up and let's just begin possessing the land. I really appreciate what James shared here. I was just enjoying that and just kind of wanting him to go on. We're not what the world is proving us to be. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so are we. Now, this word, as we receive it in our heart, has performed its work in us. We have a covenant partner, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ is, we are, because as He is in the world, so are we. We exchanged robes with the Lord Jesus Christ. He took on the earthly, we took on the spiritual. Covenant is when two become one. Our war is not after the flesh, but it's divinely powerful in God to tear down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Every thought up here exalts itself against the knowledge and the Word of God. We're what this Word says we are. We're not what our thoughts have told us we are. We're not what the world has told us we are. Mercy has brought us into grace, and we're under grace in Jesus' name. And we're not under guilt and condemnation. And I think that this is in the Word. We're in the Word here to receive the Word, and the Word performed its work in us. We agree with the Word. Isn't that right? We're what this Word says we are. We're seated in the heavenly places in Jesus. Isn't that right? So let's agree with the Word. And like you, when I go to hear someone new, and there's always controversial things about anyone that throughout this Word here when they would share. And you read the Bible and upset some folks. You know that, don't you? They just don't like to hear certain parts of it. So, I'm new to a lot of you. And I want you to understand right now, before we even begin, that not one time or one moment this entire time do I want anything shared these 3 days or done except to point to Jesus Christ and the Word. I think that's what the Holy Spirit does. Isn't that right? And you need to know, and I need to tell you, that I really love you. Now, I can tell you, in the Spirit of God, I have to communicate that to you. There's probably no one in here has received any more grace than I have. And, or probably possibly even needed any more grace than I have. So, I know where the source is, and that's who I want to point to, and that's who I want to praise. This need to be said. And now, let's just agree with the Word, and I would just like to ask you to follow after me here. As we just confess and say what the Word says, we do this every seminar, and I'll tell you what you're going to find out. You're going to find out that the Word of God in this next few minutes is just bringing such peace and love over you. And that only comes from the Lord, isn't that right? All right, let's begin. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm born again, kept by the power of God. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm born again by the word of God. I'm complete in Jesus. My sins are nailed to the cross. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Seated in the heavenly places. Right now. At the right hand throne of God. You kind of mean that, don't you? You kind of believe it too, don't you? Because, see, this is what the Word says about you. Isn't that right? I'm more than a conqueror. I take dominion. I rule and reign in the name of the Lord. God is my heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm a product of His love. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long-suffering. I have goodness. I have gentleness. I have meekness. I have temperance. I have faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right now I'm strengthened in all power by the might of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm given authority over all the works of darkness. With the word and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I now receive grace, the word and the blood. I remove in Jesus' name all the works of heaviness and oppression from me and this building, from this seminar. I remove every work of unbelief and doubt in Jesus' name. I remove all the works of traditions, legalism, and every work of oppression against my body in Jesus' name. I rule and reign in the name of Jesus. I always triumph in Jesus' name. I remove in Jesus' name all words, all curses, all the works of darkness, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my weapons are mighty in God to tearing down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every thought here, it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I now bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. Do you think you could smile over that? Let's try that again tomorrow and we'll see if he can smile about it. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Now from the throne of grace, I now receive love, joy, blessings, healing, and deliverance. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I now speak peace. And He sent His word to heal you. And His word performs its work in you, doesn't it? That's what happens when we agree with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've come together to focus our eyes on the Lord Jesus and Your word. And Lord, we'll begin by boasting in You, Lord Jesus. I boast in Your grace. We boast in knowing you. We boast in understanding, Lord. And only in understanding comes from you. We boast in your wisdom, Lord. And Lord, we come to receive this word. And we just think that this word is forever settled in heaven. This word is the final authority. That you watch over this word to perform it. That heaven and earth will pass away and this word will never pass away. That this word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That this word is life to us and health to all our whole flesh. That this word doesn't return void, thou accomplishing what you desire and succeeding in the matter which you sent it. That this word sanctifies us, renews our mind, separates us from the world into righteousness, and we rule and reign and live through the gift of righteousness and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that we're more than conquerors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just come before you now, each one of us here has come before us, stand in your grace. Your mercy has moved us into grace, and we boast in that mercy, and we boast in that grace. And now, Lord Jesus, I just give you my will, that your will would prevail, Lord. That only you and you only would receive glory. That nothing would be exaggerated. That nothing would be left out. That we'll speak the word as you speak it, Lord. We'll say it as you say it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll quicken this word to each one. And Lord, I just hold the word in the blood now against all the works of darkness. Every hindrance in the name of Jesus, all distraction is removed with the word in the blood in the name of Jesus. Every work of confusion is removed in Jesus' name. We have the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. We rule and reign in your name, Lord. And all the works against memory and mind-binding and every work of darkness and all the works of darkness that's assigned against this seminar and this time in the Word, that's assigned against me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're separated. You're sealed with the blood. You're removed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I too speak your blessings, peace, grace, love, healing, and deliverance now. Over each one here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you be seated, please? I believe you'll come to a conclusion that... And many of you already have. At the end of these 3 days, that God in His grace is opening our eyes to many things that we haven't seen before. I don't think anyone knows it at all. I just learned enough to know I don't know very much. But I thank the Lord that I'm given a part. And I need to say some things about this. I can only do my part. I'm not the whole ministry. When the Lord passed out the bread, no one got the whole loaf, did they? Isn't that right? So I'm given a part. You're given a part. There's no one here, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, couldn't teach me a lot about the Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're not to know one another after the flesh. And I think this is a grace that God is doing us, is moving us into a place away from the flesh to where we can quit honoring men and we start honoring the Lord. There's many things that's been receiving glory and much of the deception we've been in. And I want you to know the Spirit of God always points to the Word and it always points to Jesus. Now, sometimes when you deal in the Word, and I can tell you right now that we'll be dealing with controversial things these whole 3 days. And I want to tell you to begin with, if I don't receive anything from any man. Now, this way I want you to start out, and I want you to remember what I'm saying. I want you to hear me. I don't receive anything from any man until God confirms it in my heart. I'm called into liberty and freedom. I'll not be intimidated. I'll not be made fearful. And I'll not persuasive argument. It's not going to lead me into something or to walk somewhere. Or I have to be like anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you here now that you're not in any under, you're not to get under any condemnation at any time. If everyone in this seminar here sees something, and you're not seeing it, you only see it, you only receive it in your heart. I've got a great big shelf. I put things up there. And I put them on that shelf until God confirms it in my heart. So see, if everything and I'm my heart is toward truth, sees a difference in holding people together by truth instead of fear and guilt and this and condemnation and that sort of thing. So yeah, truth is what holds the body of Christ together. If you have the Spirit of God in you, and I speak the truth, I'll not be able to teach you anything. Because there's only one teacher, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I speak something here that quickens you, it's already in your heart. You already knew it. And the Lord just made it alive by speaking it through me. There's only one teacher. His name is Jesus, and we're to know his voice, whether it's a one-hour-old Christian or whatever. Now, you're called into liberty and freedom. You have come from many different places here. I can promise you at the end of 3 days, there's a little war getting here. You'll shake your head over that, won't you? And you'll find out why there's a little war getting here as we go on. Examine your thoughts, folks. That's where they talk to you. Now, I want to tell you something. You know I was talking about the big Jesus? You have the big Jesus if Jesus Christ is your Lord. Now, let me tell you about this Jesus. He says, I will lead you in all truth. Now, that's a promise. Now, that means if you want to be led in all truth, then you need to let all your heart and soul go to the Lord. Is that right? Isn't that right? Now, he also said, his word is not for private interpretation. Now, let's quit this thing looking up toward men. And some man's got the whole loaf or whatever. The reason that you hadn't been being led in all truth is because you've been letting someone else lead you in all truth instead of trusting Jesus in your heart to lead you in all truth. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is not intellectual. It's spiritual. The natural mind understands not the things of God. That's one of the problems today. A world has moved into a church where we look up to the intellect and the man with the money gets the floor, right? Well, it's mercy which moves us into grace. And it's the only thing that we post in because you'll never know one thing from God unless it's revelation and it's grace. So there's no man or anything else we can boast in. Now, he is no respecter of any people. Let's just put it this way. There's no big shots in a bunch. Just one, Jesus. That'll set you free right then. Won't set you free if you won't believe it. If you get talked out of it, then you just stay in bondage to men. We're called in liberty and freedom. If I work for Jesus, and you work for Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, we know one another. We are submitted to one another. And we're going to have a fellowship with one another. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. I stand before God right here with my motives before the Lord right now. He's looking right in my heart. He's looking right in yours. I don't want any following. I don't need any following. And I want you to know that my problems are not with other people. The problems I deal with here is right in my heart. The enemy would like to, we'll deal some things in the seminar. It showed you that the enemy wants you to get you always looking off somewhere else where you're not looking here. And he's going to lead you all in all truth. And as you're led in all truth, you know the truth. What's the truth do? It sets you free. All right, now, the reason I'm saying these things, because when our unspoken traditions put us in a whole lot of bondage. You know that, don't you? And there's certain things. Well, let's just put it this way. We have been so intimidated and made so fearful of the powers of darkness and demons, we're not even supposed to talk about them. Let's just say it together here just one time. Just say demons. Let's see if we can get by with it. Demons. Let's say it over here. Demons. See? We made it. Now, it's part of the gospel. And we can talk about it, and a second verse to that, we're going to. It didn't say to ignore the devil and he'd flee, did it? We're going to find out there's more to it than saying, greater is he that's in me and he that's in the world every 6 months. And I'm going to begin by sharing some of these things with you. And I want you to know that if you stay in bed very long this morning, they were talking to you before you got out of bed. They're an enemy. They come to kill you. Steal every relationship. And they're doing it. Every day. You, your family and your children. Now, I tell you what. There is a mystery of godliness. And the opposite of everything that God is the powers of darkness is Satan. Do you realize that? All right, now. The mystery of godliness is a process of where God is manifested through the flesh. We know quite a bit about that. That's the Spirit of God wants to be an expression of Jesus, who you're conformed to the image of Jesus, who is the image and likeness of God. Isn't that right? That's what this covenant's about, for us to become in the image and likeness of God. Is that correct? But the other side of this that I'm going to be sharing a lot about is a mystery of iniquity. That's the process of where Satan is manifested through the flesh. The people of the world who have not come into a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ and made him Lord, I begin by telling you, walk, talk, and act like Satan. Of course, we don't recognize a lot of that with the world and the church. But this is what you'll see in the Word. And many times, folks, because in many ways, the powers of darkness have been prevailing. Now, some smart man hadn't showed up with that figured everything out. God's working a lot of places besides right here. But God in His grace wants you to look at a part here these 3 days. This is just a part. I think it's a very small part. I think it's so much more. I think we're just beginning to see and have our eyes opened in a way that you couldn't dream of. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Your heart's going to be turned totally to Jesus and you're going to walk in it. You will walk in it. That is coming. You won't analyze it and speculate about it. You'll walk in it to receive more. And as you sit here these 3 days, the things that you've been experiencing this morning, the suspicion and all these things, you're going to start noticing a freedom. Freedom. You're going to notice that tomorrow, I'm just more peaceful. I'm more peaceful. There's kind of a lightness about me. And I want to tell you why that is. Because that's the particular anointing of this part. It's the work of God's Word when you receive it. Perform your work in you. It's setting you free. And when you get through this seminar, you'll not go retire. You'll stay in the Word. And you'll walk in it. But you're going to know, many of you are going to know a freedom since you have never known since day one. And it's not going to be because some man came to town. It's the Word of the Lord. Now, you're in liberty and freedom. You understand that? You're in liberty and freedom here. A lot of you don't know you're free. we're all learning more and more about liberty and freedom. Our focus is totally on the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, I would like to share just a little testimony so you'll know where I'm coming from, because many of you I don't know. I've never seen before. You've never seen me. So it's good to see where a person's coming from. I'm 43 years old. Been tormented and broken lives you've ever seen in your life. And the Lord healed me. I mean, I was like a thread over hell, and the Lord healed me, saved me. Well, He saved me and healed me in that order. And for probably a good bit over 2 years, after I was saved, I couldn't even carry on a conversation. I just a few sentences, my mind was off on something else. The Lord did heal my mind with the Word. I used to go with labor Bibles, where you'd go and, you know, into churches in different parts of the country. I began witnessing. I tell you, the Lord did such a work of grace in my life. He so transformed me to all the brokenness and torment I'd been in those years. To find out, and one night I had stepped over into a world. I mean, it's all that I could. It's all I could handle. And I want to tell you something. The one thing that you know it's something come from the Lord is you want to give it to everybody else. And I wanted the whole world to know, to have what the Lord had given me. Such torment, such brokenness, such a jungle that I lived in, and such grace, mercy, and grace. And I can't comprehend it today that the Lord would consider me. I can't handle it, and I can't comprehend it now that I could have anything to say that you'd be interested in. But I know that I'm standing in grace. I know that when I come up here to stand in this place, if grace is not there, I might as well go home, and you too. Sometimes the Lord just lifts anointing off me just enough to show me. And I go into penance just for a short, brief time. And that just keeps me straight. I have no natural ability to be a teacher. They didn't even call on me to give testimonies when I was in the seminars, when I go to different parts of the country, because I couldn't talk. And I know of at least one here that was in those labor Bibles with me. So I want you to know, to begin with, up front, I have nothing to boast in except the Lord. And I have a lot to learn. I'm a learner. And I'll tell you what, I believe we all better be learners. And I believe no part has it all. And I believe the parts are fit together. The enemy is separated. We've all been islands before the Lord. You know, even in churches today and things like that, we're separated. We're each doing our own thing. We fit together. And we don't fit together in selfish ambition and jealousy. We fit together as one in Jesus, and all the glory and everything points to the Word and Jesus. Now, after I say it, it's an interesting thing that how the powers of darkness had just broken my life to pieces. That it's an interesting thing that the Lord began opening my eyes immediately after becoming a Christian, and Jesus Christ becoming my Lord, and began opening my eyes about the powers of darkness. I found it very hard, and I found it a strange thing as a new Christian to be able to relate these things. I really did. Because I learned that when you begin talking about these, something happens to people, even your best friends, your family. They'll believe. You know, I realized my family would believe me about anything I said until it come to. But I see this suspicion and things, you know, when you begin talking about that part of the Bible. And it's strange, going off the deep end. And so we're going to deal with the powers of darkness. But folks, I want you to know something. This is not a demon meeting. Because if you listen real carefully, the focus is not on the powers of darkness. The focus is what the powers of darkness have been hindering you and me from being in Jesus. Now, what I'm going to be talking about, Jesus is Lord. That's what I mean. Through all of this, this is where the focus is going to be. It's going to be in righteousness, holiness, discernment, overcoming the world, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the devil. And if you're not overcoming these three, they're overcoming you. And folks, I've had people that have left the seminar and they go back to some place and they start talking to some people or something about they're free. And people say, free from what? I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot more bondage in this room right in here right now than you'd dream of. There's a lot more bondage in your home and your children and you than you can comprehend. See, there's a war that's been going on and the church hadn't showed up for it. So, folks, don't resist something if it doesn't fit in our traditions, if it's in this Word. Will that be all right? Because, see, traditions, now I want you to live stronghold right there. And you ever notice when you hear something, it doesn't fit in your structure right there. Something rises up in you. When something rises up in you, could I ask you something? Examine it. What's that thing doing rising up in me? Why am I upset over the Word, dear? What's got me upset? Now, you can be free from that. Unless you like it. If you enjoy it, just keep hanging in there. Keep a stiff upper lip. Just do like the world out there. Just keep letting the rough end drag. You and that pride. Now, we've already determined that you're not going to receive anything unless the Lord confirms your heart. That don't exactly sound like a cult, does it? All right, now listen, here's what's going to happen. Here's the reason I want to share this with you. Listen, I'm going to start down here on some things, and I'll say some things down here where I'm going right up here. You'll hear me begin saying some things that's kind of got a strange sound to it. To many of you. What I'm asking you, and they've been several thousand before you have learned, just relax. Just rest. You don't have to receive it until it's put together and you see it in the Word, do you? Now, I have to start out in this seminar by explaining many things, and then we're going to get in the Word. And I'm going to tell you what, if you see that list in front of you there, we're going to get in a few scripture, aren't we? We're going to get in the Word a little. Now, let me just begin by telling you something about the part that the Lord has given me. As the Lord would lead me these things and open up my eyes about the powers of darkness, I came to a place. You know, I was out witnessing one time, and I'm telling you what, you know, in God's school, you know, all of us in school, if Jesus Christ is your Lord. And as I was witnessing this fellow right here, I never seen anything like it. Oh, I'd seen it. I hadn't recognized it before. But a demon manifested in this man. I either had to run or deal with it. I didn't know too much. But the Lord just led me into a situation. And this, I'll not go into all the details of the story. But let's just say, through a series of things, the Lord began, as a brand new Christian. I didn't have much seniority at all. He just began to open my eyes and lead me in this way. But I came to a place when I wanted to relate it, see, that people wouldn't had a hard time receiving. I didn't understand that. So finally, you know, I run to get books, you know, to read about it. Well, I'm telling you what, that's one of the worst mistakes I ever made. Because those books just lead you into confusion. Now, here's the way you learn about the powers of darkness. Get lost in Jesus and get lost in the Word. He has a lot to say about it right here. Because you're not going to stand there knowing about the Holy Spirit anyway. It's not what you know. It's the grace and the Spirit of God that leads you and protects you anyway. Isn't that right? So going to these lay revivals, I came to a place that was invited to a lay revival to Graceland Baptist Church in Greater Louisville area, which is the largest Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church, in Indiana. And it's right across the river from Louisville. And I went with a Baptist pastor, and a Methodist pastor was with me, and we just went up there to go with the church folks and so forth, and just go out and share and tell people about Jesus that I've done in many, many, all the times I've been a Christian. This is 1980. I wasn't thinking anything about demons, and I was particularly not thinking about anything like that going into churches, because what experience I'd had, you know, and deliverance and things like that had been in my home or somewhere else. That's interesting. But in this revival, I was propelled into a situation. I'm not going to get in all the total story. Where the Lord, I was casting out demons in the church member. That's the last thing I was expecting to do in that church. The pastor was there. I think it's about 10 people on the staff. Most of them were there. And just a few others who'd never seen anything like this before. And I guess, as I was dealing with this man who was a member of that church, it was a pretty intense thing the way I used to do it. You know, we walk in what light we have, and I've got a lot of light since then. But I never heard such crying and brokenness in my life that I did behind me. Just stop what I was doing right here. And I just had to turn around and I looked in a pastor's face. He was holding a hand up. His eyes were closed. Tears were falling off his face. And as we discussed things later on, I found out, you know, really what he's thinking. Because as he saw this man being transformed right before his eyes, who was one of his church members. And incidentally, this man taught in Southern Seminary in boys' school and on occasions. And matter of fact, was his last summer, if that matters. But he looked back through his ministry and he saw all the counseling that he had done. And he saw that he had been dealing with symptoms instead of the source. And the Lord just opened his eyes where he saw that. And absolutely broke his heart. This man on Sunday morning went before his people in a service area, absolutely bent double over an altar, broken, asking the people to forgive him. Elvis Markham is his name. It's a godly man. Asking the Lord to forgive him and told the people he hadn't taught them the whole counsel of God. He was broken to pieces. Well, folks, this revival had already gone for some time and it continued and God came in such a way. And instead of staying there 3 days, I stayed there over 3 months as this revival continued. 3 months. And I would start of a morning through the day and after the services at night and through those 3 months. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying, folks. I was casting demons out of church members. Now, folks, I started with the staff. Now, do you believe that this deserves a hearing or has some nut got in front of you up here? Now, folks, I knew that people walking in the walls were demonized. But I'm telling you what, as I sat before those demons, these people and these demons, and would cast them out of these people, I got to learn how they got They got ground to get in these people. See, let me tell you something. You know, I'm sharing with you that I have no natural ability to be in this place here. But to be a teacher or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When God's Spirit or His grace comes upon you, anointing comes on you, God make you look pretty good, like you're smart or something. Do you know it? And I never heard of anything like that. I'd never read of anything like that. But I began to see it, and it like a blow in my mouth. The whole place is in bondage. Now, demons aren't a blessing. Can I say it one more time? All right, here it comes. Demons aren't a blessing. Now, let me tell you the second part of that. They're a curse. If they're not a blessing, they're a curse, all right? The stained glass didn't keep them out. I'm not saying that to be smart or cute, folks. I'm talking to all of us, boys. They're none of us too smart. You know that? And it's the most amazing thing to me. And there was a dentist there that we worked together every day through this revival. And I tried to relate to him. And my mind couldn't handle it. Now, if that kind of seems a little strong to you right there, you're just going to have to work. Only the Spirit of God can sort that out. Don't reject it. Won't you check on it? Go up there. They're still casting them out. People getting free. Now, for the benefit of some people that might have any problem with spiritual pride, it's not just a Baptist problem. Let me just go ahead and drop this on you. The whole bunch. So, I left there. Now, in about 3 months of this, I was walking in the walls. And I left there. And after a time of rest, folks. Now, I'm telling you something here that deserves a hearing, doesn't it? I went to either 6 or 7 churches the next year, and every one of the pastors needed deliverance from demons. Now, for the benefit of pastors right here, I want to tell you right now, before we get through this seminar, you find out that I love you and I'm a friend. If it's the only thing the Lord ever put in my heart, it's to be a pastor helper. Because I don't think there's anything more beautiful in this world than a shepherd with a shepherd's heart. That's the most beautiful thing in this world to me. And I just want to tell you. And I don't care what you've thought or what you've heard or anything else. You just wait till you get through this 3 days and you just decide in your spirit whether you think what you hear from the Lord. One, let's don't go by what we hear. Let's go by what we know. Is that all right? All right, now. I gave a testimony a couple of years ago in is here in the convention hall. And I came to a place, and you know, these things begin to share. You know, people all think these things are over in Africa still. You know it? And I began to relate and share, as James has, how the powers of darkness had controlled my life and my testimony. I had come to a place and related, and I noticed that people's mouth, you know, demons. So you'd have to cut out about 2/3 of Mark if you left it out. You know that. They're the ones that control this world system, folks. This world you live, this world system, you're going to see it in the Word. Should already, well, should know it. But I said, I came to a point that I said that if Christians can't have demons, then the top of pastors you, stealing from you and destroying you. They're all the time alive. They're there every time you get your Bible out to read it. To explain ways away. To get your heart to look some towards some man. When you run into something in the Word, they tell you meet it. They just like lust can come to you. You know when you go through the shopping center? Many of you, when you look at your choir on Sunday morning, you have to kind of look away. See, because like the world has been programmed with the powers of darkness in this pride, and we hide this
thing in us. We never, you know, you don't walk out of church on Sunday morning and say, I lusted toward the choir today. I'm not saying that to be smart. I'm just telling you that these are things that we hide in. You're coming apart inside, and you, just like the world out there, hanging in there. What are you hanging to? Pride? See, pride is satisfied. Satisfied people don't need God. They make their own bread and eat their own bread, and they're going to work it out some other way. Well, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And that's a whole lot of things that we're learning today, that we're moving in this place of humble, being humble. Now, I won't turn to it, but in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says that in the last times, that people will fall away. Now, what is falling away? Falling is away is departing from the Word of God. Let me just give you an example. Falling away could be, what do you think these powers of darkness are doing in folks? Do you think they're leading them toward heaven or hell? Are they leading you toward error or leading you toward the truth? What do you think they're doing to people? They're lies. They're lying. They tell everybody the same lie, and they think it's good because they all thought of it or something. Well, what we have to do is come back here and see, because we can't stand on experiences. What we have to do is see it right here. Is it all right to come right here and see it? Can we agree right there? All right, now, it says that you can be deceived and fall away by deceitful spirits. Now, let me ask you something. Are you too smart to be deceived by a deceitful spirit? It's stronger and smarter than you are? Where did we ever get anything so worked out we ignore that part of the Bible? See, you're going to see how that church got demonized, top to bottom. You're going to see why it's that way all over. But you've got to see it right here, not about me up here telling stories and experiences. If you see it right there. Now, these deceitful spirits, it also says, has doctrines of demons. Now, doctrines of demons points toward hell. It's a falling away, it's apostasy, and then, you know, pretty soon, let me tell you how it works, how the powers of darkness works. They begin, did you ever get in a boat and have your head down, and then you look up, and you're all the way over here, and you say, well, how did I get over here? You drifted, and that's what they do. They just drift and drift and drift. And they deceive. Now, let me tell you something. You pastors are in here right now. And see, we shouldn't be bothered with that. If there's some truth right here and it's a word, I don't care whether it's a carpenter, or a carpet cleaner, where James and John and James just have a time today. Do you know it? But if it's in here in a word here, you see something in a word, I think it's all right to look at it if you miss an is or are or anything like that, if it's right there in the Bible, right? Because we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. So what? This is what the Lord in His grace is doing today. They're showing us the mystery of iniquity is showing out the powers of darkness, what they've been doing and what they've been deceiving us about. Now, in seminary, as most pastors have relayed to me, you come to that, you touched on it, and you went on. You didn't really learn about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. You, Pastor, don't stand a chance, shepherd, of properly shepherding a flock if you don't know and understand and deal with the powers of darkness. Only thing you can look forward to is some man coming to town, and when he comes there 2 weeks, they've taken away everything he's done. You know, you talk about going over the top. We almost went over the top. You're not going to go over the top till you get rid of them and deal with them. And so now, if we come back to this part of the Word and deal with it, what we've been programmed with, the powers of darkness got us programmed real well to react to anything that mentions anything about the powers of darkness, to react to demons. You start getting some labels laid on. Now, all the people in here that ever dealt with any, people that represent God say what God said. Is that correct? And when they said it in here, there became criticism and the persecution. Is that right? Now, that's a promise for you. It comes to you. Well, Many things have become. You'll be accused. You'll be saying you have extreme view or something like that. Many things of this nature. You've gone off the deep end. You see a demon behind every bush. I see 50. And it's, you know, that's, I don't know whether I even should have said that or not, but I'm telling you something, folks. They control this world system, and the world's gotten a church. And they brought it in there. And they make a gospel of grace, a social gospel. And that's what they've been doing. And when you'll see it by the Word of God here, these 3 days, they've deceived us. The whole bunch of us. Ain't nobody can boast. The whole bunch of us have been deceived to some degree. All right, then we're going to deal with how did things get to be this way. I don't want to share with you. I just want to start down here, and I just want to begin sharing with you how things got to be this way. And then I'm going to do a little talking here this morning, and then we're going to get in the Word. We're going to stay in the Word, okay? But let me just explain some things, because when we come to it in the Word, so you'll just see it and understand it. Now, Adam was created in the image and likeness of God, which means he walked like God and he talked like God. Isn't that right? And Eve was taken out of the side of Adam. Isn't that correct? All right, they were in the image and likeness of God. And it come a time for them to be tested. And the powers of darkness do the testing. And without getting into details now, we know that Adam fell and he became earthly. We know in Genesis 5 that when Seth, his son, was born, he was not in the image and likeness of God. He's the image and likeness of Adam. Where were you when Adam was, you know, for this sin, he was cursed. And so were you. Because you were still in Adam. You hadn't been born yet. And so was I. You were cursed. And when you come into this world, you walked in an image and likeness. You walked, talk, and act like Satan. Your heart was in covenant with Satan. Why? Because your heart goes to the lust of the flesh. That's where you live. Everything you see, smell, taste, hear, and feel. It's pretty evident that the world out there lives for the lust of the flesh. You know what an egg carton is? Or a milk carton? You know, it's kind of a container. I don't want you to think it's some new Greek word, but this is a carton. Can I call that the carton? Now, we're beautifully made as far as their body and everything. I'm talking about the lust. When I refer to the carton right here, I'm talking about the lust. Now, do you understand that the world out there lives for the temporal? Their heart goes for the lust of their flesh. All their decisions, everything, is for this carton. They live for the temporal, right? That's where they live, for the carton. Have you got that straight? So they walk and scheme. They're all wolves. Have to work out all the angles. Step on the whole bunch. Make a name for them. Selfish ambition. Selfish, I mean my. They're Lord. The world's full of them. They're in covenant with Satan in their heart because everything, I want you to listen very carefully, everything you are or everyone is in the flesh, so is Satan. When you walk after the flesh, of course, you know, when you get a new master in Jesus Christ, is really your Lord, not just words. I mean really Lord. You walk in newness of light, and you got a new master. But you're walking this world. You know, you go by what some of the words world calls good, and what the world calls good is detestable in the sight of God. We know that in Luke 16. But you walk, talk, and act like Satan. Now, let me show you how. In the lust of your flesh, each one of us in the whole world here, is pride. It's there. Ego. It's there. Rebellion. It's all in there. All of these say, I, me, my. As they call it. It's my carton. See, the heart's living for the carton. See, it's with the heart you believe in righteousness too, right? But in this flesh, is deceit. See, it's deceitful. So it is with Satan. In this flesh is selfishness. So it is with Satan. In this flesh is with Satan. In this flesh is resentment. So it is with Satan. In this flesh is unforgiveness. So it is with Satan. Are you beginning to see? All this is sin. All this sin says, I, me, my. These things are in covenant with Satan, and they all live for the lust of the flesh. The temporal, the lust of the flesh lives for the world. The temporal. Slander is in there. Envy, gossip, jealousy. Oh, let's say, I mean my. Jealousy says, I should want to be the one that has be in that place over there. My carton should be over there in that place. My carton's angry with you because you've hurt my carton. I hate you because you did something against my carton. I'm going to slander you because you did something against my carton. I envy you because I want my carton to have that. All these say, I mean my. It's in there. Now, that's the way you walk in the world. Are you hearing me? I'm unforgiven. I have resentment toward you because you did something against my carton. I have unforgiveness. And that's the way everyone walks in this world. They're the image. Now, listen to me. They're the image and likeness of Satan. Can you hear me? They walk, talk, and act like Satan. All right, now, this is where you are until you get a new master. Now, I want you to understand right on the front that everyone who walks after the lust of the flesh are puppets. That the spirit of the devil works, are you ready for this? Not on the shoulder, but in these people. You will see it in the Word. And they control the world system. And this whole world system is led. This world system is set up. Satan has said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. We'll get into that. Now you walk in this manner, deceived, you're in darkness. Then we want to look at the scripture here where light came. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, because everybody, you know, walks around, they think everything that goes on up here belongs to them. And now this stuff is going on up here. It's making a person be lifted up in his heart and being wise in his own eyes, smart. Satan just likes smart. Demon just likes smart folks. He make them do backflips. The wiser you are in your own eyes, the more in control of the powers of darkness you are. All right, now, you come along and light comes to you. You know what that light is? The gospel. And your walk is walking in the image and likeness of Satan, and you receive this light. And you receive this light right here in your heart. See, that's where God looks at all your decisions, not how you appear to people or how you help him out. And then as you walk along in the I, me, my, the lust of the flesh, you're in covenant with Satan. You know what the Lord says to you? Repent! In other words, he says, what do you have to do? Repentance means a change of direction in your heart. Is that correct? He says, change of direction in your heart. That's what he's saying, repent. All right, now, you come along and light comes to you. You know what that light is? The gospel. And your walk is walking in the image and likeness of Satan, and you receive this light. And you receive this light right here in your heart. See, that's where God looks at all your decisions, not how you appear to people or how you help him out. And then as you walk along in the I, me, my, the lust of the flesh, you're in covenant with Satan. You know what the Lord says to you? Repent! In other words, he says, what do you have to do? Repentance means a change of direction in your heart. Is that correct? He says, change of direction in your heart. That's what he's saying, repent. All right, you know what? Unfortunately, many people try to come to God without any repentance. I guess that's why Billy Graham can say over 75% of the church is lost. A lot of people quote him. But what happens? God is saying repent because let me tell you what happens in repentance. Repentance says, Satan, you'll not be my master anymore. I've got a new master. His name is Jesus. I've got a new Lord. And now in Jesus' name, I die to the lust of flesh. I'll not walk in image and likeness.
of Satan anymore, because now I'm being conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. And then what Jesus being Lord for is to conform you back to the image and likeness of God. Now let me just put it this way. This is what covenant is, folks. Adam fell from the image and likeness of God. Is that right? Shake your head. All right, now Adam fell from the image and likeness. Now listen to what I'm fixing to say. Covenant, this by word, not for you to analyze, but to walk in, brings you back into the image and likeness of God. That's what it's about. Isn't that right? That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said in Romans 8:29, you're being conformed back to the image of Jesus. Is that right? And so, I have a new walk. I walk in newness of life. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. But see, these things don't totally happen if you just belong to a church. Or if you just say words. It's for with the heart man believes into righteousness. So you change your direction. Are you seeing this? You walk in the image and likeness of Satan. Then you repent in your heart. You have a new master. And you walk in the image and likeness now of God. Is that right? Okay. You're dying to the lust and you're putting to death the flesh, which we'll see later on. Now, remember that the fleshly man acts just like Satan. And a fleshly man, a man that walks after the flesh, is lord of his own life. Now, a man who is lord of his own life, who walks after the lust of the flesh, he's selfish and self-centered. All his thoughts are his own himself. See that? Are you seeing that's where the world is? They have to figure all the angles up here and all the deceit up here for their carton. And now what, you're taught in the world system, success, get to the top, step on the whole bunch, selfish ambition, I, me, my, get all you can and can all you can get, right? Make a name for yourself. So you're selfish and self-centered your whole life right there. And you know what this becomes? That's self-love. Self-love, selfishness. You live for yourself. Your whole life is around yourself. Everything revolves around your carton. The whole world has to revolve around your carton. You can have murder against somebody that hinders where you want your carton to be. Jealousy, I've got to be there. Envy, pride, I, me, my. And this self-love is really self-worship. See, Satan doesn't come to you to tell you just to bow down and worship him, because when you live for yourself, you worship and love yourself. All your love is for yourself. Self-love, you're in self-worship. That's how you worship Satan. Because everything the lust of the flesh is, Satan is. Are you seeing that? Now, folks, just wait till I get through. We're going to cover all these things in the Word. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm going to show you how the powers of darkness war against your soul. You know what your soul is? Your mind, your will, and emotion. You're going to see why the world out there is all tore to pieces. You're going to find out where you can sit on the front pew and be tore all to pieces. Now, I'm explaining some things right here, and I'm going to go right here, and you're going to see it all right there in the Word. So, I'm wanting you. Many people have heard some things, you know, and they've come to seminar, and you say, well, I heard, you know, this and that, and it didn't fit in the box I had built for God and everything. And then when they come, they found out that things are just a whole lot different than what they'd heard. See, too much we go by what our thoughts are and what we've heard and so forth. All right, let's just continue. You realize that God said to the, when you come to him, that flesh dies. Is that correct? Fleshly, you have to die because, well, how are you going to do? You're in a process of death to your flesh, but how are you going to take the hand of Satan and take the hand of God? Is that a little double-minded, isn't it? We know in James they don't receive any much from the Lord, and that all comes before James 14 and 15. For you're anointed with oil. Well, now let me tell you about a fleshly man who walks out of the flesh. He welcomes anger every opportunity. He welcomes unforgiveness. He welcomes greed. So it's just thoughts that come to your mind to show you. How do you, for your carton, to live for your carton, everything is to, just to get and receive for your carton. I mean, let me just point out one thing. Now, living for the flesh, the lust of the flesh is selfishness, isn't that right? The opposite of that is love. Isn't that correct? So when you get a good new master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, it's giving, isn't it? And he said, and the more you give, the more you get. Give and it be given unto you, full measure, shaken together, pressed down and running over, will it be given to you as you give unto men. Is that correct? You've got a new walk. See, you're walking selfish and self-centered. When you change in your heart, And see, you have a supply out of heaven that just flows through you, because what is the fruit of what is righteousness? Righteousness is walking right in God's eyes. Is that right? Well, what is the fruit of righteousness? You become a tree of life. What is a tree of life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. They didn't come and eat off your tree. Everybody in this world is a tree of the field. You're going to know what kind of seed to have is by their fruit. You're going to know them by their fruit. And so they come to you to get peace. They come to you to get joy. They come to you they come and get salvation. And everywhere you go, you just speak a few words. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not how clever or how smart you anything. The Spirit of God just, boy, he just moves all around you. He's the one it never has been us anyway. It's always been him. So anyway, but a man who walks after the flesh and self, he welcomes greed. These thoughts, you know, get for the carton. Pride, you know, I, me, my. God, you're just lucky to get me. God, you come on down here and cooperate with me. You see what I'm trying to do for you down here. The man who walks out of the flesh, his thoughts stay on himself. He's wise in his own eyes. He's pride. He's deceived. He's in darkness. He's in darkness. All right, this is the way of the world and the people of the world. It's pretty evident that the world out there lives for the cart. When they live for this, you're rejecting God. Because fleshly sin, the lust of flesh, strikes back at God's right to control your life. So many people try to come to God after the flesh, and that's a big deception today. I know that's that 75% that Billy Graham is talking about. Now, the rub comes when you start telling people. If you start teaching righteousness sometimes, you can get a whole lot of trouble. You won't be popular anymore. You get not with the world anyway. But what the powers of darkness come to you, and they whisper to your mind and your thoughts and everything, come alive, resentment. Yeah, every time anybody rejects you or hurts you, they're right there. I'm telling you in Jesus' name that they're there to build a case against that person. Every time you ever hurt and rejected, they're right there just speaking your mind, and people just, and see, they're talking to you up here and they're trying to get your heart in agreement. And now I'm telling you, when you get your heart, let's just take this for instance. When you, how do you commit adultery? When you do it where? In your heart right there. You don't have to be in a very active. When you commit adultery in the heart, you've committed sin. Isn't that right? So that's where the powers of darkness are headed for. They talk to you up here to get your heart. They build a case. They all the time build a case. So what? You know the scripture told you to take every thought what? Captive to the obedience of what? Was that put in there for you to analyze or do it? All right? They come along and all the time they just make people like puppets. Come alive, pride. Turn right. Turn left. Wake up in the morning reporting for Satan. Reporting for duty, Satan. And he makes you wise in your own eyes when you live after the lust of the flesh. Come alive, anger. Come alive, hate. Come alive, jealousy. Come alive, envy all through the day. What do you think God is doing with people like this? Well, quite frankly, that's why we sit around and count everything that moves. He's not doing much. See, the last Adam come into the world to change the directions and bring us back in the image and likeness of God. Now, I don't want you to turn these scriptures. I'm just going to quote some here, and they're on your part of your notes right there. But in Matthew 4, it talks about people are sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. They saw a great light. And what is this light? That light is Jesus. And what Jesus said, repent. In other words, what is first thing Jesus says? Repent. Change directions in your heart. Isn't that right? All right, now. We know in Psalms 107 that there were those who dwell in darkness in the shadow of death. We'll look at this later. They're prisoner in misery and chains because of the rebellion and because of their sins they're afflicted. And they cried out, and cried out means repented, and then he sent his word and healed them. Didn't say he sent some folks and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. Isaiah 42 is talking about it putting the Spirit on the Lord as a light and appoint you as a covenant to the people of the world. We're going to be seeing this. To open their eyes and bring them out of darkness from their what? Their prison. I'm telling you what. What was the first thing Jesus said when the anointing came on him? He walked in the temple and he said, I come to set the prisoners free. I want you to know this whole world is prisoners. Is that clear? They're not all over in Africa. They're all over the place. I want you to know this wilderness right outside the door right here. Downtown Dallas. So in our walk, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we get this new master. We die to such things. We're to die to resentment. We take every... That's how you resist the devil. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing me? You resist gossip. See, there's a thought comes up here to tell you just to, you know, in the flesh, enjoys gossip. You resist greed. You die to greed. You die to lust. Folks, you don't have to lust. And listen, any of these things that you have compulsion to do, and you can't control it after prayer and resisting it, you know, it becomes a supernatural thing, isn't it? When you're doing something you don't want to do, you have a compulsion after you resist it and pray. Well, it becomes a stronghold in you. I'm telling you, be set free from that here. Just receive the Word. And then walk in it. So anyway, we die to fear, we die to anger, we die to murder. See, these are all these things I've been talking about are the fruit of Satan. I, me, my sin. Separation from God. Now, I want to just turn to look at one scripture with me here in Romans 13, please. Just turn over there and look at it with me. Romans 13. Now, in the old days, as they would make a covenant, I want you to look up here at me in just a minute, just as soon as you get turned there. When they would make a covenant, usually a covenant is made when two people come together and they're going to become one. Now, if I were going to make covenant with you, Bob, you and I would really know you. You would really know you. I'd be loving you as myself. You'd be loving me as myself. We would really know each other. And we would going to come together to make covenant. We'd become one. That means, Bob, I have to die to everything I have. Because, see, I'm taking on a new relationship. I'm going to be identified as one with you. That's what covenant is. You would have to die to everything you are and everything you have. Because everything you have and everything I have are going to belong to each other. We become one. And then, as they would do it in Bible times, you know, Jonathan and David, we would probably meet in a field with witnesses. And then we would go through things that we'd do for a symbol with one another. I would, as they would exchange robes in, well, like today, Bob, you would take my coat, you'd have your best coat on. We'd exchange robes. In other words, I would be putting on Bob, and Bob would be putting on milk green. That's how we'd become one. It's just it's a symbol of us becoming one flesh. That's blood covenant, becoming blood brothers. Now, I have shared before in about the covenant in the other seminars, and I'm not going to really get into it in this one, but I'm just going to tell you real briefly before I've been getting into these things, but this is what happens when you come to make Jesus, when you make covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's one thing for man to make covenant, but when you're making covenant with God Almighty, see, Jesus has got the covenant with God. Amen? So when we get in Jesus, we come out of in Adam. Is that correct? And then we move in Jesus. Well, now how do you become in Jesus? You and Jesus become one. That's what covenant is. That's what Him being Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you make covenant with God, He's got some conditions. I mean, He's kind of funny. He doesn't want folks to act like the devil. Don't take Satan by the hand in coming to make calling him Lord. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Isn't that right? That's a good question, isn't it? So in this exchange with the Lord Jesus Christ, He put on the spiritual, as I said before. I mean, He put on the fleshly robe, and we put on the spiritual. Isn't that right? The garments of salvation, the robe of rights, isn't that right? All right, this is exchange that we make. We become one. We become one. Now, I want you to know, when you become one, then I say, and when he becomes Lord, do you have a new master? Shake your head. Are you listening to me? Now, this is important you see this. When Jesus Christ becomes Lord, that means you're right then breaking your covenant with Satan. Is that right? You're no longer a walk in his image and likeness. So if you're no longer going to walk in the image and likeness of Satan, that means you die to the lust of the flesh. Is that correct? Shake your head. You die to the lust of your flesh. All right, here's a covenant right here. In verse 14, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you put him on. Is that right? He puts you on, you put him on, he's in you and you in him. Is that right? Well, let me ask you something. Do you kind of have an idea? Why don't you look at me just a minute. Do you kind of have an idea that the Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit might have a covenant with one another? Are they all one? Are they in each other? And what, Jesus, the Father's in me, I'm in the Father. And okay, are they one? The Spirit of God? All right, then what did he pray in the prayer of John 17? I pray that they'll be one as we are what? Well, we haven't known too much about this oneness because the powers of darkness have been dividing us, folks. We've been programmed to hate one another, suspicious of one another. Isn't that right? But when the focus is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word, as it was in Acts, it's not going to be too much of a problem to see them doing what they did in Acts when they become like and walk like they did in Acts. Isn't that right? I think it's a whole lot of things that we need to know about Acts that they knew that we don't know. That was the first church. I think that's a pretty good place to look for church, don't you? Well, let's just finish this verse. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's another part here. Is this Bible made? Are we to walk in this Word or just analyze it and go speculate about it and get some votes on it? Huh? This is where you walk. This is where the Spirit and Word and agree. Is that correct? We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the next part says, you make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Did that say you make some provision? Did you pick and choose? We'll see later on. It flesh is hostile toward God. It doesn't obey God. You know what flesh does? Flesh wants to come through here and pick and choose. I'll take some of that. We don't like that. I'll take some of that. But when it's in the Spirit, you won't ever jot and tittle. You won't miss any of it. Now, that's how the powers of darkness have prevailed against us, folks. Now, I want you to know, when you make covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you something, brother. If you're my Lord, WR, if you're my Lord, I do what you tell me to. That's what makes you Lord. You know, somebody just say, Jesus is Lord. The demons do that and tremble. They're not going to heaven. I'm telling you, the covenant is a lot more serious than a tradition. Than a word is a lot more serious than our traditions, and the powers of darkness have let us believe. Now, who do you think sets up traditions? Who do you think sets up strongholds to keep you from the truth? Where do you think all intimidation comes against you when you start standing on? Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that spirit comes against you that you're going to lose approval or somebody's going to get you? Let me ask you, who's going to get you? We're going to deal with these things and you're going to see it. It's going to set you free, folks. Because you're going to get out of a lot of bondage when you know that, when you find out what you're in bondage to. Well, I love you. And I stand before you, folks. I'm zero with the rim off of it. That's the only thing, important thing about me is Jesus. And that's the only important thing I'm going to receive about you, because we're to not even know one another at the flesh. Is that correct? Isn't that what the word? If you're walking in the spiritual realm, you're not walking in the flesh realm. If you're walking in the flesh realm, there's big shots, little shots, medium, and it's where you cater. But there's no unrighteousness, no part. God has no part of unrighteous partiality of the seeking of a bribe in the heart of Moromos. I mean, God just don't want to be any part of it.
But this concludes tape number one. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number two, where this message continues.